The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Aaron needs to put himself in that same spot and look at the mistakes he made in this and that and that. And I get it, because it is frustrating. And I would say, come on, man. Hey, I tapped you, and there was like a second delay. Get it? As soon as I tap you, that's what silent count is. He kind of goose his ass.
One message. Hope it's not from you.
Hey, Jerry, it's me. Call me back.
Sophie, she's still doing that?
Yep.
All right, I'll tell you what you're doing. You call her back and give her the it's me, huh?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And,
You what?
You goose his ass. That's silent count. When you feel the goose, then you go to the gander.
That's what that saying means. All these years, I was wondering what that saying meant. I didn't realize it was football related.
What it means. I don't think that's what it means, Gabe. I would not take that to the bank if I were you.
Pull the old switcheroo.
I think that's what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
What the hell is a gander anyway?
The goose that's had the old switcheroo pulled on it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We
the preseason is over. It is one of the best days on the college football calendar, the day that you can put the preseason in the rearview mirror and look forward to that open road that is the NFL season.
Thank God.
Right?
It's a long preseason.
You're already overworked.
It's just the preseason, man. Like, it just, the Packers did not, they literally sat their top 30 players every single game. Every single game. And this isn't like a roster of full of young guys. No, it's a veteran-led roster. They're all in. It's just frustrating to watch.
Take a deep breath, Gabe. It's Monday. It's going to be fun.
What? Now it's over. It's over.
Stop yelling at me.
And there were only three games.
Oh, man.
Like, you're exhausted, and there were only three preseason games this year.
I cannot imagine if there was going to be another preseason game this Thursday. I don't know what I would have done.
Just wouldn't show up.
Yeah, I'm gonna be real honest. I did not watch the final preseason game because I was on an airplane on my way back from college game day, but I hear things went well-ish, not great, okay.
Look, when Dennis Krause comes to me asking a player to watch, and literally the only thing anybody's actually watching, I can only say Jordan Love so many times.
Jordan Love was the guy to watch, though,
right?
Of course he was. So listen, we're going to start the day by asking you, and we have our ones and twos coming up, but we're going to start the day by asking you, you know, Jordan Love was out there, and he led some drives. He moved the chains. He did not, however, find the end zone. And so the question we're asking you today is, how are you viewing Jordan Love's three drives of 74 yards, 54 yards, 65 yards in Saturday's game, none of which resulted in points? Because I think that this divides people, right? Like, yes, he looked good moving the chains, but he made a few blunders. Big mistake. Big, huge, to quote Pretty Woman. Or is it a negative? You got to find the end zone. So go ahead and weigh in on that. We've put that on our ESPN Milwaukee poll. We'll be talking about that and your Packers all morning long. But first, we got to get to our number ones and number twos.
After every game, there's always a winner. Champions, my friend. And a loser.
We hate losers, don't we? They don't even deserve to live.
It's time for the number ones.
Always remember, you ain't first, last.
And the number twos.
Did you just soil yourself?
Maybe.
I will start with the number one of preseason football.
You have
that
to go.
It is finally over.
All right.
Here's where I struggle. So I fill in every once in a while for Greg Scalzo on Scalzo and Brust. And he starts every show, you know, so today would be Monday, so it's Happy Monday! And he does it with this energy that just cannot be replicated because he's Greg Scalzo. So I don't want to sit here with the big guy gone and go, oh, right, I've got a cold for you. Like,
you nailed it, though. I see the thing. I'm pulling that. You nailed it.
Because he has no idea whatever we're doing at any time when we do hots, colds, ones, twos, take out the trash. He's constantly confused. But preseason football is a one in that it is finally over. And especially for the Packers. Like, look, preseason games certainly have a value. You know, some of those fringe guys, obviously important for Jordan Love to get those game reps. But overall, for the Green Bay Packers in 2021, preseason games absolutely meaningless because hopefully Jordan Love is not playing at any point in their top 30 guys set. So now we can actually focus on those 30 guys. We can focus on the regular season and start getting ready for that New Orleans game on September 12th.
I got a number one for you. The Milwaukee Brewers.
We're number one.
Now, it wasn't the best weekend, but they did win yesterday 6-2. And I saw in the paper, Aaron Ashby got his first major league victory in the paper. That's a honor of Chew. It's like saying on the ticker. I read it in the paper.
But you get a paper still?
No, it's in honor of Chew. Milwaukee Brewers still obviously atop the division. And look, we're creeping closer to September baseball. Right? Like, I know October baseball is a big deal, the hunt for Red October and whatnot, but, like, this is it, man. If you're not on board with this Brewers team, get on board. We could. I'm not the one. I didn't say it. I didn't bring it up.
Where's
but
the bat?
Somebody
Where's
mentioned.
The bat?
Oh, yep, yep, yep.
You got to knock on that.
You go
Hold
run
on.
Over there. Yep. Somebody mentioned a trifecta here in the state of Wisconsin. Somebody
Jen.
Mentioned
it. Was
it it wasn't
it.
Me.
It was Jen.
But there could be.
It's a solid bat. Ooh. Good oak on that one? Maybe ash?
Knocking on a little wood there. There Maple? Could be a trifecta here. So let's just keep an eye on the Milwaukee Brewers, who are, again, atop their division. What do they have, like 79 wins?
79 wins.
It's not as nice as the other one, but still pretty nice. Go ahead, Gabe.
I've got a number two, preseason football.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Preseason football sucks, Jen.
Hey, are you going to do preseason football for every one of your ones and twos this
morning?
We'll
see. We'll see how much material. We'll see how much material I can get out of it. But if you are the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, no, you stole mine.
The Baltimore Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2015. They are 18-1-1 against the spread in these games as well. However, they've decided it's worth it to play starters. Is it really worth it, John Harbaugh? Because you run your offense very much predicated on running the football. And your best running back is now out for the season because you decided to play him in a meaningless game. This is why I am all for what the Packers did this preseason. And maybe this will scar the Ravens. I certainly still have scar tissue from when Jordy Nelson got hurt back in 2015 and that sinking feeling of, oh no. What are the Packers going to do without Jordy Nelson? And then James Jones came in. Wasn't the greatest of years. Still ended up making the playoffs that year. But the offense wasn't very good. Like, this is a huge injury to have to deal with now heading into the regular season if you're the Baltimore Ravens. And that is why I am completely cool with the Packers sitting their top 30 guys because I don't want any injuries to any of them.
I got another number two for you. And unfortunately, it is my other employer, ESPN.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Stay with me on this
okay.
one.
Okay.
The Geico ESPN high school kickoff. You familiar with this story at all?
I am not.
It's so good.
IMG Academy, a powerhouse, if you will.
Familiar with IMG Academy?
They played Bishop Sycamore this weekend.
Not familiar
with
that.
In the Geico ESPN high school kickoff. Bishop Sycamore lied its way into the game, stating that they had Division I prospects. They named players who don't even go to their school in the press release. And basically, they went 0-6 or something ridiculous like that last year. The last time that they played IMG Academy, they got drubbed like 50-something to 6. And they ended up getting smoked on national television yesterday as well. So people are watching the game going, why is this team on television? Because they lied on their resume, guys. They lied on their resume. But again, you could easily do a little research and see that last year, Bishop Sycamore went 0-6 and were outscored, wait for it, 227-42. This is not a good football team, and it showed on television. So you know who was real, real mad? The state of Ohio. Because Bishop Sycamore was representing the great state of Ohio that actually has some really, really good high school football teams. So a big L to ESPN, who got duped into putting a terrible JV-esque football team on television yesterday for the Geico ESPN High School Challenge.
I've got so many questions.
Can I tell you the best part that Jen has not said? And I don't know if, Jen, you knew this portion of it or just withholding the information, but I'm the one that's going to bring it out. They used a third party to help bring this other team to help put the game together, like a marketing team's like, oh, this team's good. Nobody seemed to, on the third party, also be like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. Nobody did any research whatsoever or used Google.com. Everyone's just like, sure.
How does this happen in the year of our Lord 2021?
It's so great. It's so funny.
He said he would have canceled the game if they knew that they played. Oh, no, that's not even the best part. I apologize, Ash. The best part is Bishop Sycamore played on Friday. They had a game on Friday, and then they played again on national television on Sunday. So, like, not only were they 0-6 last year, not only did they get outscored 277-49 in the previous season, not only did they lose 50-something to nothing the last time they faced IMG Academy, which was 1 year ago, but they also played a game on Friday.
Their coach needs to be fired.
Their whole school needs to be fired.
You know who this is? This is the guy from Catch Me If You Can.
That's a good
movie.
This
is Abagnale, or whatever the guy's name is.
Frank Abagnale Jr.
Yes, Bishop Sycamore should change its name to Frank Abagnales Juniors.
Honestly, now I'm actually really mad because now you've put those kids, like, can you imagine playing a high school football, like, again, it's not the NFL, but, like, you're 16, 17, 18 years old.
How are the parents now allowing this? I'm mad at so many people. How are the parents, because 100%, like, the coach should be fired, the administration should be fired or something. The parents, why are you agreeing to this?
Well, your kids are on national television. That's great.
Take the kids away. Take them away. Give them away. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Child Protective Services. Flock to wherever that is in Ohio.
Oh, brutal. Just brutal.
I was not familiar with that story. I mean, yes, hilarious, but now I'm also very, very upset. I've got a number one. Let's go ahead and... We're gonna go with a number two here.
Preseason football again.
Preseason football. It's terrible. No. Bryson DeChambeau. So there's a story up at ESPN.com. Kevin Van Valkenburg wrote it, covering the golf tournament, which was in Baltimore over the weekend. And the ending of the golf tournament was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a six-hole playoff. Bryson DeChambeau had plenty of opportunities to win, ultimately did not win. But we need to stop with the calling of Bryson DeChambeau Brooksy, especially when the tournament's over. The dude just, like, gutted out a six-hole playoff loss, and he's walking off the golf course, and someone waits until he walks past and yells, "Great job, Brooksy." Now, Bryson DeChambeau...
That is such a Richard move,
that's
man.
That's a big Richard
move. That's a Richard move.
That's a Richard Ahead move, is what really what it is. Excuse me, Dr. Richard Ahead. It's a real person. Look it up. So Bryson turned around, you know what? Get the bleep out is what this guy said, and had the fan ejected, even though it really didn't matter because, you know, golf tournament was over. But I don't like Bryson DeChambeau. He gives you plenty of reasons not to like him. You don't have to be a Richard to him after he just lost a six-hole playoff. Like, what are we doing as fans? I don't know. We're getting out of control as fans.
I got another number two for ya. Carpeting at the airport.
Even stink would say that stinks.
Okay? I travel to a lot of airports, guys. You know this with my job. I'm kind of a big deal.
Cool.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Thank you. General Mitchell is the only airport that has carpeting in its concourses. Okay? Now you might think, like, Jen, what's the big deal? Think for a moment what we're all doing at the airport. Most of us, if you don't check a bag, you carry on. And what are those carry-ons? They are roller bags. So now I am trying to roller bag my suitcase from gate 46, which it always is. It's always 46 or 48. It's the last two always at the Delta Concourse.
I really don't think I use any other gates. They really don't.
And 48, all the way to the baggage claim. Guys, I am fighting with my suitcase the entire time. When we renovate General Mitchell Airport, can we please go to some linoleum or some tile or hardwood floors?
It's kind of going against the grain there.
Yeah. Can we just do something? It is so difficult to walk. You guys are, I know you're thinking like, what is she talking about? She's insane. I do this all the time. Every time I want to murder. I want to kill someone because I'm fighting with the suitcase the whole time, pushing it down the carpeting.
I honest to God cannot understand how this is an issue.
I'm going to bring my roller bag in, okay?
I can't understand for the life of me.
We got with stuff, and I'm going to make you do laps. Here. I'm telling you, I'm going to make you do laps around this desk with this carpeting here. It's right. Not fun. It is difficult. And every time I walk through, I say, I'm going to write an email.
Oh,
I'm going to write a letter. I got to let someone
General Mitchell,
know.
Can I speak to your manager?
Karen Latta.
Karen Rogers over here. And I have one more number two. Did you see this? There's kerfluffle? In New York with the Mets?
I don't know if this is...
even Stink would say that stinks.
I don't know if it's a one or a two. It's like a one and a half.
Javi Baez thumbs downing the fans. And then, of course, there was a statement from Sandy Alderson, who basically yelled at Javi Baez and a few of the players who thumbs downed the fans, saying the Mets will not tolerate any player gesture that is unprofessional in its meaning or directed in a negative way towards our fans. I will be meeting with our players and staff to convey this message directly. And I gotta say, I am not with Sandy Alderson. Sandy Alderson is wrong here. And I'm gonna tell you why right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you know I think dinosaurs are fake?
You're wrong, and
no,
I will fight you to death
about
this.
No, they just found a dinosaur butthole.
You could stupid.
What do you mean they're fake? What do you mean they're fake?
Fake.
Where's your evidence that they're fake? There's literally evidence
that
they're not fake.
Where's your evidence that they're real?
Yeah, Ashton,
all of the bones that they have in the
Ashton
museum.
Brave.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Your ones and twos from the weekend, already getting some rolling in. Chef Ed weighing in saying, my number one is me. After 46 years of cooking in Milwaukee, I'm retiring.
We're number one!
I have cooked for the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, many celebrities, two presidents, and every radio and TV personality in the state. I have been lucky. I have a ton of stories, Chef Ed. Congratulations to our loyal listener, Chef Ed. That is absolutely cause for celebration. So good on you, Chef Ed. Thanks for getting us your one today. Get us your ones and twos. Unnamed in the 414 weighing in saying, I travel every week through General Mitchell. Have never had an issue rolling a bag. And Jonah in Cedarburg saying, maybe it's user error.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is a you issue. Like, this is the first time that I've ever heard anyone complain about this. The carpeting at General Mitchell Airport.
Are you
just
using
because
it
it's
right?
The first time doesn't mean it's not true. Okay?
I'm 100% confident it's not true.
It is true. I'm going to bring my roller bag in. I'm going to bring my unit in. And you guys are going to see how difficult it is to navigate General Mitchell with the roller bag.
You can keep your unit to yourself, but we'll take the roller bag.
Okay. I know I always call it the kit, but whenever we talk about Chewies, we call it the unit. It's great. Sandy Alderson is wrong, guys. Sandy Alderson issued a statement yesterday after a few of his players, including Javi Baez, who they recently acquired, were seen thumbs downing the fans, literally giving the gesture of thumbs down. It wasn't just Javi. It was several guys. We'll get to their names in just a moment. But Sandy Alderson put out a statement that said, Mets fans are understandably frustrated over the team's recent performance. The players and organization are equally frustrated. But fans at Citi Field have every right to express their own disappointment. Booing is every fan's right. It may be their right, Sandy Alderson, but it's not the right thing to do. The fan and the players are supposed to have a symbiotic relationship. That means that they are on the same team. What benefit does booing tell your guys? You think they don't know they stink? You think they don't know when they're underperforming? They need you, the astute fan, to let them know? They need you to alert them to their deficiencies? No! You're supposed to support your team. And when your team is underperforming or when your team is struggling, you're still supposed to be there to support them through those times. So if the Mets fans, who are notoriously fickle, by the way, during my time in New York, went to plenty of Mets games, and you'd be like, oh, are they Mets fans or are they Cubs fans? Mets. Are they Mets fans or are they Yankees fans? Are they Mets fans or are they Braves fans? You could never tell.
Mets fans are an interesting breed. Really
so
are.
If I have to take a side in this one, I'm taking the players' side. The players were saying, you guys have been booing us. It does no good. So now when we do something well, we're going to boo you. We're going to thumbs down you. We're going to show you. Because again, it's a symbiotic relationship. You're supposed to work together to the greater success of the franchise.
I've been trying to figure out how I feel about this. Because objectively, seeing a picture of Javi Baez circulate Twitter with both with his arms extended and both thumbs down, objectively, it's hilarious. It's just, it is funny. It is hilarious. And like this always comes back to, do you boo your own team? And some people will and some people won't. And, you know, they buy the ticket. So, you know, like Sandy Alderson said, they've got the right to boo their own team if you want. I would not boo my own team. I understand why people do. So them striking back, like, again, the two sides of this is them striking back, very funny, but the person who's probably booing isn't going to like it. And at the same time, like, yeah, you might have to deal with that. Like, that's part of being a professional athlete. Should you have to deal with it? To quote the great Don Draper, that's what the money's for.
Well, listen, fans are always so self-important, right? We talk about home field advantage and home court advantage. If you believe that you can positively influence your team, if you believe that your cheers and the noise you make and the energy you bring can positively push your team in the right direction, then why in the world wouldn't you believe that your negative energy and your negative reaction could also affect them similarly? Like, you can't have it both ways, guys. You either believe in home field advantage, home court advantage, or you don't. So the question we want to pose to you guys this morning at 800-990-3776 is, what's in bounds and what's out of bounds when it comes to fans? What should fans be able to do without repercussion? And what shouldn't fans be able to do without repercussion? Because no one is saying that you can't boo. I mean, I don't think you should, but if the players then have a reaction to your booing, you can't cry about it. And you can't have Sandy Alderson, dad, run out there and defend the fan saying they shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have done that. Like, this is... it works both ways, man.
Do you
it
think Sandy Alderson ways. Actually believes that? Or did Steve Cohen, because Steve Cohen has done so many stupid things since buying the Mets, made Sandy Alderson release the statement so Sandy didn't have... so Steve didn't have his name behind it.
Probably that. 800-990-3776 is the number. Where do you stand? What should fans be able to do and what shouldn't fans be able to do? Because you want to know something? This hits a little close to home, doesn't it? It hits a little close to home, Green Bay Packers fans, as Matt LaFleur just recently tried to delicately remind you not to chant "Go Pack, Go" when the team is on offense, right? There are rules, whether they're written or unwritten, about how fans should interact with the team they are supposedly supporting. Now, I love what happened last year and the year before, although at a different degree because there weren't fans in the stands, with the Houston Astros, right? Everybody believes they cheated. Every time they went to an away stadium, they got booed. There were trash cans thrown on the field. I'm not saying throw stuff on the field. I'm not saying that that's part of it. But you should be able to boo your brains out for the opposing team, especially a team that brought it upon itself like the Astros did by cheating their way to a World Series. That is absolutely part of the fan resume. That is absolutely what you should be doing. But your own squad, your own team... Again, if you can positively impact your team, why wouldn't you also think that you could negatively impact them? 800-990-3776. What is inbounds and what's out of bounds? Gabe, what's out of bounds for you, for fans?
Well, out of bounds. There's plenty of things that are out of bounds. And by the way, if you want to find out what's out of bounds at Lambeau Field, just, search the hashtag scanner squawk during Packers games, because there is a reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette that listens to the scanner. And let you know of all the ejections that happened at Lambeau Field, most of them rather entertaining and rather hilarious. Look, you can boo your own team. I wouldn't do it. I haven't done it. I don't understand people who do it. But again, you can. It's not going to get you ejected. That's fine. Somebody has a bad reaction. Like, if you start throwing stuff on the field, yeah, that's bad. Obviously, the fights... There are very few things that I'm going to say are out of bounds. Like, again, if you start harming somebody else, that's going to get you ejected. But again, if you start booing, if you start having bad behavior, and like you You can't expect that everybody else around you is A, going to ignore you, or the players on the field are just going to straight up ignore you. Like, if that's what you decide to do, that's fine, but nobody's then just going to straight up ignore you. Oh, you can't take it? Just ignore me. Like, no, then you should shut up, man.
But again, explain this to me. The players are only supposed to ignore the negative reaction.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about
100%.
That selective hearing, right? It's like every husband in America, right? You only hear what you want to hear. So they only hear the cheering, but then when you start booing, they turn off their hearing aid. Like, that doesn't make sense. They hear you. They're affected by the reaction. They're human beings. And again, I'll go back to, if you think that you can positively impact your team, if you think that by being loud and bringing energy and cheering and thunder sticking your way through a game can positively impact your team, then why in the world wouldn't you think that booing could negatively impact your team? Let's hear from Javi Baez. Here's what he had to say last night that got the whole sports world talking.
We're not machines. We're gonna struggle. You know, we're gonna struggle 7 times out of 10. And you know, it just feels bad when I strike out and I get booed. You know, it doesn't really get to me. But like, I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels. You know, because if we win together, then we gotta lose together. You know, and the fans are really big part of it. So, in my case, they got to be better. You know, I play for the fans and I love the fans, but, you know, if they're going to do that, they're just putting more pressure on the team. And that's not what we want.
So,
I don't disagree with anything you said.
Makes a good point. This isn't even like Javi's probably going, what do I care? I'm going back to Chicago after this little stint with the Mets anyway, right? Like, that's probably what he's thinking in his mind. But I agree with him in principle, which is, if we're in this together, then we're in it together. And if you want to boo us, there are going to be repercussions. There's going to be a reaction to that. This idea that there's some sort of plexiglass, that there's some sort of soundproofing device between the stands and the field is absurd. The players hear you. And when it's a collective booing, again, you're not breaking any news to the players. They know they stink. They know they've been underperforming. What does booing them accomplish? We've got Brian and Brookfield on the line, 800-990-3776. Good morning, Brian. Where do you stand on the fans versus the players?
Good morning. I would just have to say, we've all, as fans, when you watch a couple of games, you're thinking, oh, I've got some great ideas here. You think you're a coach. Well, I think we should be able to boo the coaches, and maybe that's where the line ends. And I think back to last year in the playoffs when a certain coaching staff did not go for it on fourth down in a situation where ultimately that maybe would have been the better decision. And that's maybe the time and the place for booing. And that's the frustration, that's the passion coming through. And I would argue that some of the players probably were booing inside as well.
It's a good point, Brian.
But at the same time, like, if you start booing, like, it's very, in baseball, it's easy to differentiate who you're booing because there's one guy who's at the plate. So if Javi Baez is up there, he strikes out, the boos start coming.
He's clearly being
booed.
It's
pretty obvious, yes, who you are booing. But in like a football or a basketball game, like, it just, in the flow of it, like, that's a really tough thing to differentiate. Oh, I'm not booing the players, I'm booing the coaches.
Well, it's interesting that Chewy's not here today. He's got some personal business to attend to, but he would be a good person to weigh in on this because he has talked on this show about being booed, about the fans booing them. And you're right, it is a little bit different in football because there's 11 guys on the field at any one given time. It's not like one guy is being singled out. Tim weighs in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, 800-990-3776. He says, fans have the right to boo, players want cheers when doing well, but when they are bad, fans just sit and be quiet. Throwing items or foul language is out of bounds. Excuse me, that was from Peter in Milwaukee. I'm going to get to Tim's comments in just a moment because I do have a reaction to what Tim has to say right after this. Hey, pride of ownership is the ultimate goal of all homeowners, and Universal Windows Direct wants to help you attain that goal with brand new windows. Man, we have got some storms around here lately, haven't we? There is nothing better than when a storm is rolling through than to stand at your brand new windows knowing that you and your family are safe inside because your windows are so good, and you can get that from Universal Windows Direct. They will improve the overall look and feel of your home and save you money on your energy bills. Call now to schedule your personal estimate and take advantage of a buy one window, get one window free. I'm going to say that again. Buy one window, get one free. Because I've been looking at the front of my house thinking, oh gosh, it would be quite pricey to go ahead and replace all of these windows. But at Universal Windows Direct, I'm really only paying for half of them. Call 414-410-2000 or go to their website, universalwindowsdirect.com. Universalwindowsdirect.com, 414-410-2000.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild.
Really,
and in the name of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you to Munchkin Land.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If we win together, then we got to lose together, you know, and the fans are really a big part of this. So, in my case, They gotta be better, you know. I play for the fans and I love the fans, but you know, if they're gonna do that, they're just putting more pressure on the team, and that's not what we want.
What is inbounds and what is out of bounds for fans in the stands? Look, we all know about Malice in the Palace. I think we all believe that that is out of bounds. And if you're on the other side of that, go ahead and give us a call and explain. 800-990-3776. And not have repercussions. Now, again, that big thing was like, oh, the players should have never gone into the stands. But this reminds me of what you were talking about this morning, Gabe, with Bryson DeChambeau, who has dealt with his share of heckling on the tour over the last year or so.
Yeah, so after Bryson DeChambeau lost six-hole playoff, grueling. I mean, there were ups, there were downs throughout the course of the six-hole playoff. Looked like there were times where he was going to win, then he didn't, you know, didn't come through, and then ultimately he loses in a six-hole playoff to Patrick Cantlay. After the tournament, he's walking, you know, towards the clubhouse, and he's got to go past some people, and somebody waits until, of course, Bryson DeChambeau walks by, because you're not going to do it when he's right in front of you, because you're a coward. Somebody yells, "Great job, Brooksy." And DeChambeau, obviously, for those who don't know, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau have had a whole thing going on. People have been yelling, great, have been calling DeChambeau Brooksy. It clearly gets under his skin. He does not like that. So after he lost a six-hole playoff, grueling, left everything out there, walks past, somebody yells, "Great job, Brooksy." DeChambeau had rage in his eyes, according to Kevin Van Valkenburgh, spun around and said, "You know what? Get the bleep out," to the fan, directed to a police officer, and had the fan escorted from the premise. Again, didn't really do much because the golf tournament was over. But like, just that, I mean, to me, it's pretty simple here. Just don't be a douche. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, if you're a fan, just don't be a D-bag. It's pretty simple. For my fan code of conduct, if you want to boo your own team, my question to you is, what do you think that accomplishes? Like, I don't have a strict no booing policy. It's all about expectations. You boo the opposing team. The opposing team is expected to get booed, to, you know, have some heckling when they're on the road. That's like, that's part of it. But when your own fans start turning on you, that's a little bit tougher to deal with.
So I was referencing a comment from our friend Tim, who weighs in quite regularly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And if you want to weigh in, 800-990-3776. He said, "I am not a boo your team person. I disagree with it. Problem is, didn't you guys talk about booing on your show several months ago and you all said it was fine? Which way do you want it?" I think this is important to clarify. I know Gabe just articulated it. I don't mind if you boo. I'm just asking you that you recognize what you just said, Gabe. What's the point? It's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship between the fan. I keep saying that word. It doesn't mean what you think it means, probably, is what you're out there thinking, right? You're doing the Princess Bride on me right now. It is symbiotic, though, right? It's a relationship, right? The fans and the players have a mutual respect. You guys are both riding for the same team. You both want the same thing, which is for the team to do well, for the players to do well. So if you genuinely believe that when you rattle your thunder sticks together and you yell for your squad. And my brain is going back to those games at Fiserv Forum for the Milwaukee Bucks, where you were doing everything you could as a fan to help your team beat the opponent. Why wouldn't you think you could have a similar outcome, a similar reaction when you go negative? Like, the energy is all the same. You guys are sharing the energy of the space. So go ahead. Yeah, boo. You bought the ticket. You have every right to vociferously voice your objection to whatever's happening on the field. But why? And so Javi Baez is saying, yeah, they've been booing us. We've been bad. But now when we're doing well, when we do something well, we're going to give the thumbs down to you fans, because you almost don't deserve to be a part of this high because you chose to check out during our lows. And that's what I'm saying. And I have no issue with that, because Javi's a person too. And these other players, it wasn't just Javi Baez. Who were some of the other guys that were in there? Kevin Pillar. I almost said Millar. Kevin Pillar and Francisco Lindor, also some of the players who were throwing the thumbs down to the fans. Now, Keith Olbermann, who is obviously a very famous sportscaster, was on SportsCenter for years and years and years, weighed in on this last night. He said, after 13 hits in a Mets uniform, Javi Baez has announced that the fans got to be better, so that's why he, Lindor, and Pillar are quote-unquote booing the fans by making thumbs down gestures. He says, they're bleeping idiots. Send them home with pay. And he adds and links the owner of the New York Mets. I couldn't disagree more. I couldn't disagree. Why do we expect our athletes to be robots? Why do we expect them to hear your cheers and respond to your cheers and get motivated by your cheers but ignore your boos? They're just supposed to turn that off,
the boo's supposed to motivate.
They're just supposed to turn off the old hearing aid on that one.
That's what the boo does. The boo motivates you, right?
Whoa, no. Tell me. Show me. Who?
I mean, just motivate. That's why you boo, right? Like, honestly, I don't know why you, like, again, I've never understood booing your own, you know, team. And Michael hits us up on Twitter at GNitzel16 at JenLatta. So wait, Jen has a comprehensive, I don't think this was comprehensive, this is just kind of general, anti-booing position, even for professional athletes' teams, that's unprecedented and unsustainable. Again, we're not saying you can't boo. If you want to boo, boo. We don't get it. I'd love somebody who has booed their home team to explain it to us, 800-990-3776, because I don't understand it. I'm not saying you can't do it, but if then somebody has a bad reaction to that, yeah, that's probably going to happen.
It's kind of like Bryson DeChambeau, right? You want to call him Brooksy? By all means, call him Brooksy. But then you can't cower, you can't hide, you can't run away when he comes over to you and is like, what did you just say? Get the bleep out of here. Yeah. You can't be like, oh, he's out of line. How is he out of line by responding to what you clearly wanted him to have a reaction to? Like, it's the hypocrisy, I think, that's bothering me the most. Is like, you want these guys to react to you, right? That's why we cheer. That's why we, woo, let's go. You expect them to have a reaction to that. But then when you go negative, they're not supposed to have a reaction
to that.
Gotta
ignore it.
Yeah, be bigger. Be bigger than that. You're bigger than that, Javi. You're bigger than that. Come on. Just, I want fans to recognize, and again, I'll bring this back to local, okay? And it's not booing, but it is similar as Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers 1 year ago said to the fans, hey guys, no noise. Stop making noise when we're on offense, Ashton.
Certainly, you know, when you're on offense and it's a third down situation, I'd rather not hear the Go Pack Go chant. And when we're on offense, I'd rather not see the wave. I'd rather see that when we're on defense.
Yeah, because you want that noise. You want to make it difficult for the opposing team. You want to make that noise, make it hard for them to be able to communicate at the line of scrimmage. You don't want that have to happen when you're trying to move the ball in the red zone, you're trying to pick up a crucial third down so you can maybe put 7 on the board rather than 3.
But isn't it interesting? There's clearly a acknowledgement by Matt LaFleur as he's delivering that message that this could ruffle some feathers, right? Because look at how
to be very, very delicate in how he brings it up.
Look at how delicately, yes.
20 seconds of him before doing that, of him being like, we love Packers fans. We know they're the best fans in the world. I know I have to give this caveat. And then he goes into the clip that I actually play, but we don't need to play that.
You're right. But again, the whole point was the delicate nature with which he's trying to deliver the message when really all he's saying is, shut the bleep up! Shut up when we're on offense. We're trying to do some work here, guys. Like, and again, there is an appreciation for fans. I don't want anybody to misinterpret me here. I'm a fan. I appreciate fans. Certainly the players, the owners, everybody, the franchises appreciate the fans' role. But as they appreciate your role, know your role. Know that you probably shouldn't boo your team because it's only going to affect them negatively. Know that when they're on offense on the football field, they could use a little quiet. Give them the library. Don't give them the gymnasium. Don't give them the loud environment. Don't give them the concert. Give them the library. We've got callers waiting on the line. We're going to get to you in just a moment. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. What's in bounds and what's out of bounds when it comes to fans' interaction with players and athletes? Gabe?
I want to tell you about my friends over at Windows Select, because Windows Select, a local Milwaukee-based company offering replacement windows, siding, and doors. They're very excited because they are a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. That's right. Proud partner of the Green Bay Packers, and they're going to have some cool stuff coming up here that I'm probably be talking about later this week. But right now, if you're in the market for a new window setting or door, just contact my friends at Window Select because they have a special buy one, get one free window deal with no payments for a year. That's right. Buy one window, get one free with no payments for a year. On top of all of that, because Window Select believes in their products to the point that they're so good, they back it up with a double lifetime warranty. That's right. Buy one window, get one free, no payments for a year, and a double lifetime warranty. Call them today. Set up a free estimate for a new window setting or doors. 262-703-3500 or go to windowselect.com. Window Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Tell them you heard it from me, Gabe Neitzel, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Giannis stirs Sixers with beep. Sit-down celebration.
Did you say
Yeah, you did.
What is it?
Ire.
Oh, tomato, tomato, get off my back.
Man, sugar makes Chewy angry.
Yeah, it does.
He's turning into the Hulk. Chewy smash!
On 94.5 ESPN.
Only 1 week ago that Matt LaFleur asked the fans to shh when the team is on offense. It's very similar to what's going on now in New York with Javi Baez giving the thumbs down to the fans who have been booing them when they've been underperforming because it asks the question, what's inbounds and what's out of bounds when it comes to fans' behavior? Should Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur not be able to ask the fans to do what they want them to do when they're on a certain side of the field, when they're on offense versus on defense? Is that out of bounds? Should the fans be able to do whatever they want so long as they're not throwing things on the field? Wave away when they're in the red zone.
I want to make something clear. Just so it doesn't get misconstrued. Like, if you want to boo your own team, go ahead and boo them. Like, we're not saying don't do that. What we're saying is don't expect them to just straight up ignore it. If you want to chant, go Pack, go, and the Packers are on offense, go for it. But don't be shocked when Matt LaFleur has to waste a timeout because they can't get the communication correct. Just understand that your actions could cause a reaction to whatever you're doing. Like, there is a very likely possibility that there is a reaction to your action.
Because isn't that the point of being a fan? You don't exist in a vacuum. Otherwise, just stay home, right? If you don't expect that your presence and your noise can affect the team positively or negatively, then just stay home and yell at your television set. Like, why else pay for the tickets? Why else have... I knew he was going to jam me on that. 1959.
Boo. Man. Usually that's Chewy who's the old one. A television set?
Well, again, I feel like I am channeling the Chewy vibe. I said earlier that I read it in the newspaper.
What year is it?
I know. God, as soon as I said it to him, I was like, let it go. Please let it go. Please let it go. Please let it go.
On this show?
Dang it, they're not going to let it go. 800-990-3776.
You watching football in standard def?
Frank in Port Washington, when I watch football, which we'll get to in just a moment. Frank in Port Washington, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Hey, I'd say a lot of this behavior, poor behavior at sporting events relates to the consumption of a certain beverage. I mean, I think when you see obnoxious people at a sporting event that haven't been drinking, I mean, it's even goes for the wave.
Well, the wave is for children. Like, the wave, to me...
Can I put it on the poll? What's more harmful, the wave or booing?
Or the wave or alcohol. See which way people go with that one. You could put that on a t-shirt, Gabe. The wave is for children.
But well, it is.
Tricks are for kids.
I mean, tricks are for kids, so I guess I'm still a child because tricks are delicious. But like, to me, I remember being very excited if I went to a game as a kid and they did the wave. Like, it was wonderful and magical and awesome. As an adult, like, do I have to stand for this? Do I have to? I'm not going to. Okay, well, look, it's already gone. Shoot, I missed it. If you want, again, you want to do the wave, do the wave. That's what you want to do. Cool, do it. But if you're doing it at not the right times, there are going to be negative reactions towards that.
800-990-3776. What's inbounds? What's out of bounds when it comes to fan behavior? Obviously, we all know about Malice in the Palace. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about chucking a soda at a player and then him going into the stands. We're not even talking about throwing inflatable trash cans like fans have done in response to the Houston Astros cheating. We're not talking about that stuff. But in this case, fans have been booing the Mets when they've underperformed. Now they're performing well. They're playing well. They're getting, you know, on base. They're doing what they need to do, driving in runs. And all of a sudden, they throw the thumbs down. They're showing it right now on GetUp. I can see it on the television screen behind me. It's a big topic. It's a big story. And it hits close to home because Matt LaFleur just 1 week ago reminded fans very delicately not to do the go, pack, go, not to do the wave when they're on offense, when they're driving, when they're in the red zone, because as Gabe mentioned, the guys can't hear. They can't get the calls. They don't know what's being called. If Kirk, Ben Kirk.
Nope.
Dang it. If Kurt Ben Kirk.
Nope.
Good.
Over two.
If Kurt Ben Kurt.
There we go.
There you go. See, I knew I would get it eventually.
One for three.
Is it because I booed or because I didn't boo this time? I let you figure it out yourself. Who's to say?
See, I think that it was very good. You let me work through my issues. You let me just figure it out. Let me take another at-bat, if you will.
If you booed, then she would have panicked, and then who knows what she would have thrown out there.
One for three.
Like a Curtis? She would probably said, you know, Curtis, Ben Curtis? Something like that?
One for three. I'm basically Hall of Fame. I'm basically Hall of Fame, guys, okay? It's just, there is a relationship between the two sides, and you have to recognize that. We put it on the ESPN Milwaukee poll earlier this morning, talking about your Green Bay Packers. How are you viewing Jordan Love's three drives of 74, 54, and 65 yards in Saturday's loss to the Buffalo Bills? Final score in that one was 19-0. Scores don't matter. I always say it was who cares to it doesn't matter.
You're the Baltimore Ravens.
And then you celebrate a 20 preseason game win streak.
It's unbelievable.
None of those drives, however, resulting in points. Early returns on that are 53% of people saying it's a negative, you got to find the end zone. 47% of people saying it's a positive, you moved the chains. I will admit, guys, I was on a plane flying back from College Game Day on Saturday during the Green Bay Packers game. It was not available on my flight, so I didn't see any of the game, which brings me to this point.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Gabe, what did I miss?
Oh, man.
It's going to be hard to follow that Hamilton drop, by the way.
Yeah, first of all, yeah. Check out Hamilton Disney Plus. Man, what did Jen miss, Ashton? I mean, the entire game was so exciting. I was trying to, I had to force highlights. Like, there weren't many highlights. I'm trying to do a recap on the Packers Radio Network. Like, I'm trying to get one from the second half because literally nothing happened in the second half.
This is how it went down for anyone. Yeah, I run the Packers Radio Network on the production side. Gabe is, of course, doing pregame and halftime and postgame on it. He asked me during one of the breaks, hey, do we have this highlight? Does this exist? And I said, no. And he said, okay. So we're just going to run back the first half because literally nothing happened in the second half. Jen, I honestly can't think of a single thing to help Gabe here. I don't know what you missed. Jordan Love threw an interception.
Jordan Love had a couple of nice throws. I really like the one he made right before halftime when they're doing the 2-minute drill. Nice sideline throw. Malik Taylor had a couple of nice plays. But it just seems, right now, it seems so insignificant. Like, now that we've made it through the preseason, and I know Chewy and I had this conversation, I know Wilde and Tausch had this conversation about Kurt Benkert and whether or not the Packers are going to keep a third quarterback. Really, it does not matter. Who cares?
Well, no ding? He gets no ding? He said it right. He gets no ding?
Well, I know he's going to say it right, though. It doesn't surprise me when he says it right.
Does it surprise you when I say it right?
It surprises me when you don't say it wrong.
There's a subtle difference there, but there is
there
a difference.
Is a subtle difference. What about the receivers? Because I know a lot of people have been talking about the receivers. Are they going to keep six? Is Malik Taylor?
Six, it's Malik Taylor. But again, it's the sixth receiver. Wait, am I happy for Malik Taylor? Sure, I guess. I don't know. Now that we've gotten through it, it just seems so insignificant that these are the things that we really had to pay attention to, because they're really not going to have a large impact on the 2021 Green Bay.
We end the first hour just like we started the first hour, which is celebrating the fact that the preseason is in fact over. Hey, we're going to talk some more. That's right, we're going to talk some more. Some more talking.
Some more what?
Some more talking. Some more of it all. Some more talking right after this.